Let us pray. Loving and merciful God, when we read how Jesus responded to John's call to repent, we are humbled. We find it hard to admit that we need to change our ways. We don't want to admit that we have made bad decisions. But Lord, you bring us to our knees as we admit our need to face up to the mistakes we've made and the foolish and unkind things we've said and done. Especially we find it difficult to name the things we've left undone because we were too lazy or self-centered. But Lord, we admit that we've fallen short of your standards and we do want to change. So baptize our hearts and minds again so that we can make another fresh start. Like John, may we help to prepare the way for others to discover the love, the grace, and the truth that inspires and equips us to live as your people. Amen. Amen. And hear now the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save us sinners. To all who will turn to him and truly repent, he says, "Your sins are forgiven. Come now and follow me." So we do, Lord, and we praise and thank you. And we would ask now that the thoughts and meditations of all our hearts and minds and the words of my mouth might be by the power of your Holy Spirit found to be acceptable in your sight. Amen. How quickly we seem to have moved on from the angelic choirs, the shepherds coming to find the baby Jesus in the lowly stable, and the wise men travelling vast open deserts to find the new king and present those special gifts. The pretty Christmas things have been packed away for another year, and it won't have escaped your notice that the shops are already beginning to unpack their ideas and temptations for Easter. And just as the world of sales, displays and planning moves on apace, so too does our church calendar. Because today we've remembered the baptism of Jesus. His baptism marks the beginning of his ministry, the proclaiming of God's righteousness. As God's son, Jesus will become the servant king. He came to do God's work. He will honour the weak, but be strong to accomplish his work to bring justice, love and salvation. Coming not just to teach God's will, but to demonstrate it, to live it. The infant has become a man, and we are invited to join the crowds down at the River Jordan, watching as John the Baptizer, prophet and hellfire preacher, addresses the people. He wasn't an easy preacher, John. Would you have gone to hear him? Would you have been prepared to walk into the muddy waters of the Jordan River? John invites the crowd to be cleansed of more than just dirt. God's judgment is coming down on you, you sinful generation, he roared at them. Unless you repent, change your ways and get back to God. Those who were prepared to repent, John baptized. A final very public sign of the desired conversion of all Israel, a pointer to the beginning of the dawning of the new era of God's reign. And now, here comes Jesus, John's cousin. John has already told the people, "Don't follow me, it's not me you want. Look, here comes the one you've waited for." Jesus wades into the river, coming with the crowds to John for baptism. And the astonished John protests, "I can't do that, Jesus. Should be you baptizing me." But Jesus insists, "No, John, it's right for you to baptize me. You see, God's work of putting things right all through the centuries is coming together now in my baptism." Jesus recognized and affirmed John's message. His own message was to be somewhat different, but he identified himself with John's message by coming to him for baptism with all the others. So John baptizes Jesus. He pushes Jesus down into that river water, and when Jesus comes back up again, something happens. We know something happens, something amazing. Matthew tells us that when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I delight." Whilst the others being baptized may have experienced the forgiveness of sins for conversion at this moment, Jesus experienced the Spirit of God descending and alighting on him. The same Spirit of God who brooded over the birthing of the earth and broods over you and me, cherishing us, willing us to fullness of life. The Spirit who is the active, creative power of God in the world, who calls and guides and loves us into the paths of God, who calls us to live life, to create life, to redeem life, enhance life, and to protect life. The description of the Spirit alighting on Jesus recalls to us those words of Isaiah, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. I have called you in righteousness. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeons, from the prisons those who sit in darkness." And Jesus fits that description perfectly. He is the chosen one who delights the Lord, to whom the Spirit is given to bring forth justice, healing, and freedom. Jesus was anointed at his baptism as Son of God, the servant of the Lord, and sent out to confront all the evil in society, to heal the sick and broken people, and to call people back into relationship with God. And unlike John's hellfire and damnation preaching, Jesus proclaims God as Father, illustrates the arrival of the kingdom by signs of grace and mercy, miracles of healing, promising the coming of peace and hope, freedom from past burdens and guilt. But why did Jesus, the one without any sin, come to identify himself with sinners? Come to John's apparent embarrassment and protest to be baptized with those who'd responded to the Baptist call to repentance? Jesus joins the penitents who are aware of their need for repentance and change. His presence with them showing his solidarity with the people, God with us. "The kingdom of God has come near," proclaimed John as Jesus approached. And Jesus' baptism provides continuity between John's preparation and Jesus' own mission to bring the kingdom to fulfillment. The opening of the heavens as Jesus is baptized signifies the culmination of his ministry, the beginning of communication between earth and heaven, of God speaking directly to his people. The vision of the Holy Spirit descending like a dove is confirmation that Jesus is acting in the power of God's Spirit. He is God's representative. And the voice confirms his special relationship to God as God's Son. God has spoken directly, not through any prophet voice, for he needs no human agent. So commissioned and empowered by God the Father, Jesus the Son begins his ministry. The servant king comes to his people, coming as their servant and their saviour. The baptism is the anointing of Jesus as Israel's king, his enthronement, his lifting up before the people will be when he's nailed to that cross, and the journey between those two events is a hard-fought struggle. The glorious triumph of the resurrection brings the good news of forgiveness, spreading out to all believers from the evidence of the few chosen witnesses spreading out like the ripples on water. The baptism of Jesus identifies him with all who seek to find him, all who truly want to turn around and change their lives and follow him, all who, like those wise men, journey to find him, who have at last found him and are willing to ask him into their lives. Because of Jesus, the way for reconciliation between God and his people has been made possible for us. Jesus Christ brings challenge to all who would follow him. God in Jesus lived a human life for us. His glory was revealed on the cross. His humanity was shown when he wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. Our God doesn't stand far off manipulating nature and humanity like some kind of celestial puppet master interfering at whim. Our God endures and suffers with us the consequences of the act of creation. Our God is the God of whom Jesus said, not even a sparrow falls to the ground unnoticed by him. And it's God's same spirit given to Jesus at his baptism as is given to you and me. For we too are God's delight. We too are called to be a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind to God's truth and love, to bring out the prisoners who sit in darkness, those oh so many people who are unaware of the light of the gospel, unaware that Jesus is the light of the world. We are called to struggle to bring justice to the nations in God's name. We are called to put the mission of the people of God first in our lives, called not only to follow in Jesus' footsteps, but to carry on his mission. We are called to be baton takers and baton passers on. And in the stillness of our acceptance, a voice is heard from heaven saying, "You too, you are my family. You too are my beloved, in whom I delight. So go now, go and do as my beloved son Jesus has done."